This is the Truth Network.
TNG Radio, where today's culture and timeless truths come together.
It's reasoned, relevant content, apologetics, worldview, and answers to the questions that you need to know.
You need to know.
From Alex McFarland Ministries, this is Truth for a New Generation Radio. And now the man who preached in 50 states in 50 days, speaker, writer, and advocate for Christian apologetics, Dr. Alex McFarland.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. That's Psalm 33:12. We'll come back to that. Blessed is the nation. The word blessed or blessed, happy, prosperous, safe, stable. The Bible has a lot to say about blessedness. The Bible speaks about when Christ returns and there's heaven on earth one day during the millennium, every man will safely relax and be at rest under the shade of his own tree. That's a state of blessedness. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Hi, Alex McFarland here. Welcome to the Truth for a New Generation broadcast. And I want to talk a little bit about Psalm 33, and I want to talk about the rise of socialism in the nation. And I want to talk a little bit about where we are as a country, not only culturally, economically, politically, but really ultimately spiritually, and what I believe are some of the problems with socialism and what we can do about that. But I do welcome you to the program. I trust you're having a good month so far, strange as the world has become. And, you know, it's funny, I was preparing for the radio show and I went to my mailbox and I got a letter from Planned Parenthood. And this does relate to how, you know, people see the country right now. And just every day, I get dozens and occasionally over 100 emails in one day where people say, you know, what is going on? We've witnessed the riots of the Black Lives Matter movement, and we've witnessed the tearing down of statues and burning of the American flag, and now municipalities are taking down statues, that many of which have been up for decades, if not more than a century, to honor the dead of World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, the Gulf War, honoring not only the founders, but the veterans that have helped preserve our freedom. And it seems to be crumbling all around us. Why is that? And I get this letter in my mailbox from Planned Parenthood. And it says, "Dear friend, exploiting a global pandemic to score political points is just shameful." But that's exactly what our president is doing, says Planned Parenthood. And this is underlined, and it's an appeal for money for Planned Parenthood, which, of course, I would not give money to this organization that makes millions of dollars a year off of the killing of babies. But it says this, and this is underlined, that abortion is essential time-sensitive health care. Pregnancy can't be put on hold, but states like Texas have already made it illegal to provide this type of health care. And it's underlined, abortion is essential time-sensitive healthcare, they say. And so they want my donation money to help murder more babies. Isn't that something? Healthcare, how can it be healthcare when it results in a homicide, the loss of a human life? But friend, that relates to why we are not living in the state of Psalm 33:12. We're not blessed right now. We're not stable, free, safe, prosperous. And the Lord is not our God as he once was here in America. And it goes on in verse 18 of Psalm 33, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon those that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them from famine." See, the hedge of God's favor and the safety of God's protection and the favor of God's increase in prosperity doesn't really seem to be with our nation like it once was for so many years. And there's a lot I could say. The legalization of gay marriage, now recently the Supreme Court decision about gender identification being constitutionally protected. And you can be transgender, cross-dressing. You can be a genetic male but identify as something else. And more and more in the workplace. And friend, this is going to be the end of the church in America, apart from a great revival, that you're going to have to be forced in your Christian daycare, your Christian school, your church, to be forced to hire clergy and workers that are openly gay, transgender, repudiate and reject what the Word of God clearly says. And more and more the government is making it illegal to be a biblical Christian. You don't think so? Did you see this week in California where you can't sing in worship? Now, in California, you can't sing. And don't think, we said this was coming. Don't think the government is not going to try and get in and tell you how you can and can't run your church. I remember 4 years ago, Hillary Clinton, during her campaign, would continually use the phrase freedom of worship. Now, the founders bled and died for freedom of religious expression and freedom of conscience. Not only can you think and believe what you want to believe, you can follow your own religious convictions, but the founders envisioned an America with free speech and free religious expression. But now freedom of worship, which the woke left uses, is a phrase that basically means you can believe what you want to believe, but you can't publicly express it. And it's one thing when they want to publicly restrict your speech, but now they're saying, and they're using the pandemic, which some call the plandemic, as a ruse to restrict what can be done in and out of church. Within church, you can't sing now in California. Friend, we are going further and further down into a tailspin that we've got a God-sized problem and only the Lord can turn this thing around. But I want to say this, friend, when people ask me why has the hand of God's favor been removed and the hedge of God's protection seemingly restricted, there's a lot I could say. But listen, you kill babies for 45 years. You kill tens of millions of babies, roughly 3,000 babies a day murdered. God will get you. There's a lot I could say, but friend, we deviated from the moral conscience that is written on every heart that we know is wrong. We've tried to be pluralistic and say that all beliefs are equally valid as long as they're sincerely held. No. Psalm 33:11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. See, here's the thing. God's word doesn't have an expiration date. The Bible will never go out of date. Jesus was the one and only Savior. Today, friend, Jesus is the one and only Savior. Heaven and earth will pass away. God's word will never pass away. And I've got a private memo from the Democrat Party that is their plan for your future. So stay tuned to Truth for a New Generation, which we'll be back after this brief break.
Christians don't necessarily agree with one another when it comes to questions of religious pluralism, homosexuality, the role of government, abortion, and war. Too often we manage these disagreements by ignoring them. Yet we're called to engage the world for the sake of Christ. How can we be effective if we avoid society's most pressing questions? In 10 Issues That Divide Christians, Alex McFarland challenges us to drill down to the biblical core of 10 current issues, such as social justice, evil and suffering, pornography, and environmentalism, as he echoes the biblical invitation, "Come, let us reason together." Only by engaging the scriptures deeply, thinking clearly, and speaking truthfully, can we in God's family address our differences and discover the peace that comes with unity of purpose. 10 Issues That Divide Christians. Find this book and many others at alexmcfarland.com.
We care about justice
and aren't afraid to ask hard questions.
In fact, we care about a lot of things.
We have passion for truth.
We are EngageMagazine.net, an online group of millennials brought together by a common goal: to share truth, apply scripture, and to get involved in our lost and hurting world. EngageMagazine.net hosts discussions that help you apply a biblical worldview to your daily life. EngageMagazine.net.
At Liberty University, you'll earn more than a degree. You'll earn the satisfaction of seeing what you can accomplish and what God can accomplish through you. Choose from more than 600 degree options, from an associate to a PhD, and study 100% online more affordably than you think. Discover God's truth through every degree at Liberty University. where we train champions for Christ. Go to liberty.edu/explore to learn more. That's liberty.edu/explore to learn more.
For apologetics resources, books by Alex McFarland, and to find out where Alex is speaking, visit alexmcfarland.com.
Welcome back to Truth for a New Generation Radio. Alex McFarland here. Let me read you another little word from Psalm 33. I love verse 6. It says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. God created, remember, he spoke and commanded the world to be, and it was. God spoke the world into existence. Ex nihilo, from out of nothing. The Latin phrase there, and God created the world. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the depths in storehouses. Now, verse 8 of Psalm 33, "Let all the earth fear the Lord, and all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Now, verse 10 is a verse that I take a lot of comfort in these days, and I want to encourage you to please pray for America. And look, lest anybody say what I, you know, get sometimes in correspondence from people, they'll say, when we talk about the elections, when we talk about making sure that the people that are in the various offices across the land, you know, believe in God, believe in moral truth, and have the right world view. People will email me and they'll say, "Well, Alex, you know, you're a Christian. You get so passionately engaged about America. You know, I thought your home is in heaven." Look, it is. But as we've shared many times, Augustine, who lived 354 to 430, Augustine wrote the very famous book, City of God. And look, if you're a Christian, your home is in heaven, the city of God. But until you are in the city of God, you have an obligation to the city of man. See, that's part of the Christian life, that we are to be salt and light. And we know Christ is coming back, and we know time as we know it will one day come to an end. But we have an obligation to the city of man to be salt and light. Now, hopefully, with the next election, and if enough believers are willing to get out there and vote, we'll see verse 10 of Psalm 33 come to pass. "The Lord brings the counsel of the heathen to naught. He makes the devices of the people to none effect." I want to talk a little bit about the counsel of the heathen and the devices of the people. I'm holding in my hand some of what you're not going to hear in the Joe Biden ads. Now, it's talking about, you know, defeat Trump and make this country a better place, at least according to the liberals. But do you know what? Here is what the liberal progressive Democrats want to do over the next 4 years. And this is in order. And you're not going to hear this in the news, but this is what their counsel, their plan for your life is. Number one, add 2 to 4 justices to the Supreme Court, which they can do with a president, vice president, and 50 Democrat senators. And the number one thing, part of the reason that the liberals so vehemently want Trump to fail, because of that plum prize, the appointment of Supreme Court justices. Number two, now listen very carefully. Give citizenship, including voting rights, to 10 to 15 million illegals. They want to give citizenship to 10 to 15 million current illegals. That includes voting rights. Number three, relax border security and add 1 to 2 million illegals to the voting rolls each year. This is why, listen, if Trump loses, you and I will never live long enough to see another Republican, conservative, constitutionalist president. That's why, listen, they want the rule of law to continue to diminish and anarchy and lawlessness to continue to be in the streets. It's very sad because it grows their power base. All right, change voting laws to allow unregistered voters to vote on election days and make it illegal to have the requirement to show a photo ID for voting. And then they also want to abolish the Electoral College because it is the Electoral College that really brilliantly our founders made it so that places with disproportionately high numbers of voters would not be able to override the voice of parts of the country where there are lower numbers of voters. The popular vote and the Electoral College vote are, it's a brilliant system. It is a brilliantly designed system to yield a fair and honest result. And that's why one of the things that I would urge you, almost beg you to pray about, friends, look, if you care about this country, if you care about the future of America, pray that God, in his providential power, will rule and overrule so that we will have a fair result for the election coming up. Now, one of the things that is a law that the leaders in our states are to cast the electoral votes that they are supposed to based on the tally. And you know, there's been pushback, and in the last election, there were states that did not want to cast the electoral votes to lawfully, legally, by our protocols, make the president the president. But the Democrats have long wanted to abolish the Electoral College. Why? Because it mitigates against their plan to try to make this country more and more socialist. One of the things that they want to do is reduce the voting age to 16 or 17 years old, and this is already being done in some local elections in Maryland and California. Now, brace yourself. And look, I've got this. I'm staring at the ink on paper. And this is true, although you're not going to hear it in the media. But they want to make it legal for felons and prisoners to vote. Now, it's interesting. It's interesting, folks. If you're a convicted felon serving time, two things. You can't own a firearm and you can't vote. But lawful, law-abiding citizens, the liberals want to take away the right of gun ownership and self-defense. And so it's this incredible irony. It's really a slow, toxic American suicide. They want to make sure that law-abiding citizens don't have the right to own firearms, but convicted felons do have the right to vote. And so, friend, we are in a spiritual battle. Now, when we come back after this brief break, I want to talk about why the rise of socialism. And I'll give you an amazing statistic about what university professors are teaching students these days. But stay tuned. There is some good news in this otherwise, for the moment, bleak and likely bleaker picture. When Truth for a New Generation comes back, I want to talk about how the plans of God override the schemes of man.
The Lord has a 100% track record in keeping His promises, and He lovingly offers to help everyone prepare for life and for eternity. Join Alex McFarland at The Cove as he shares from the Old Testament book of Daniel and the New Testament book of Revelation, the two most well-known books of Bible prophecy. Each reveals things about world history and the future that only God could know. Their prophecies can be a source of motivation, warning, and assurance. They can also be an apologetic persuasion for non-believers. Get clarity on which events today may relate to these two prophetic books and be equipped to answer the big questions and objections about prophecy. Daniel and Revelation, How God Wrote History in Advance with Alex McFarland, July 27th through 31st at the Billy Graham Training Center at The Cove. Find out more and register at thecove.org.
If you're a Christian parent, you of course want to instill a biblical view of life in the hearts of your children. If you're a pastor, you want to offer ministry that draws young families to your church. This is Alex McFarland encouraging you to check out my new book and video curriculum, The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity.
Why do bad things happen?
I interviewed hundreds of children ages 5 to 12, and we address actual questions from actual children, the spiritual issues that are on the minds of your kids.
Did Jesus ever sin?
The book and video lessons are great for groups of any size and was produced with the goal of equipping kids to stand strong for Christ in any situation. The 21 toughest questions your kids will ask, the book, study guide, and video series, you'll find it at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
In the midst of a culture obsessed with relativism, Alex McFarland is a voice you can trust to speak the timeless truths of Christianity in a timely way. You're listening to Truth for a New Generation Radio.
Psalm 33:20, our soul waits for the Lord, for He, the Lord, is our help and shield. Our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Welcome back to Truth for a New Generation. Alex McFarland here. I want to resume talking about the rise of socialism and a Christian response to it. But I do want to remind everybody that this month I will be at The Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center at The Cove, teaching Daniel and Revelation. There is still time to register, and I'm excited because they tell me people are coming from all across the country. And listen, folks, COVID notwithstanding, my speaking tour is resuming. You can go to my own website, which is alexmcfarland.com, to find out where I'll be and when. And I do thank God that we can preach the gospel on the radio, online. We do a three-day-a-week webcast that we're now in our third month of doing. And just go on Facebook, Rev. Alex McFarland. Please subscribe. If you do subscribe publicly, you're automatically entered in our book giveaway. We give away a book every Friday. And I thank God for the more than 3,000 people just this year that have indicated they've trusted Christ, they've prayed to receive Christ. We've sent them material, and we are sending out materials all the time. And obviously, job one is to evangelize the lost and to see people saved. But America is in a spiritual battle because of the fact that this country was founded on biblical principles. This country, at least up until recently, has been that paragon of gospel truth, Christian influence, and moral truth. And it does hang in the balance. There are a lot of people that want America to fail and to fall. And you may ask the question, as many ask me, so why? You know, if the liberal progressives are so bent on expunging Christianity from America and turning this into a secular utopia or a man envisioned secular utopia. Why? Well, look, folks, Karl Marx rejected Christianity, and for Marx, God became the government. And that's how people are today. The Black Lives Matter movement is a Marxist movement. What you're watching, friend, the tearing down of statues, and as cowardly city council members across the country, with sometimes because of one complaint, and sometimes because of no complaints, they're pulling down veterans' memorials, they're pulling down statues to our founders from Columbus to Washington, even Lincoln, Ulysses Grant. Folks, what you've been watching is a slow, incremental overthrow of the U.S. government. But part of the reason that people are so bent on changing America and ushering in socialism is because, like Karl Marx, they don't have God, so government becomes God. They have no hope of heaven, so only a panacea and utopia in this world is what they hope in. Now, Will Durant, who I love, and I read and study his history, Will Durant, in his summary volume, after writing The History of Civilization, the summary volume says, in the lessons of history, that there is no historical example of morality apart from God in all these nations. There's only the might of the state. And without God, we don't have morality. Now, listen to this. In the end of the 19th century, a lot of elite liberals were concerned that more and more money and wealth was going into the hands of the blue-collar, you know, heretofore agricultural and blue-collar workers. And so they were concerned about taking control of the electorate and making sure that liberal progressives had the power. And it's interesting, there was a man named Frederick Keppel, K-E-P-P-E-L, and he commissioned a Swedish left-leaning sociologist named Gunnar Myrdal, M-Y-R-D-A-L, and this is in Paul Johnson's History of the American People. Well, Myrdal did a study on voting habits in America. Now, it's interesting. He was paid $300,000, which was an amazing amount of money in the early 20th century. He ended up writing a book called An American Dilemma, a 1,000-page book with 250 pages of notes and 10 appendices. Finally came out in 1994. And in An American Dilemma, Myrdal, who was a follower of the German atheist Friedrich Nietzsche, he said this. He said, democratic politics are stupid, quote unquote. And he ultimately said, the American people are impervious to rational argument, especially when it comes to voting. Now here's my point. Myrdal ultimately became a socialist. He was one of the co-founders of the Swedish Socialist Party. And his book, An American Dilemma, is basically a 1,000-page book that trashes America, trashes our moral, God-based representative republic. Now, why am I telling you this? Because you've got to understand, over the last 30 years, when secular university professors are interviewed about the books that most influence their life, Myrdal's book, An American Dilemma, which is a socialist trashing of America, it is one of the top three most influential books. Well, you have professors that come into the classroom with this kind of a perspective for 3 and 4 decades. It's no wonder that eventually, incrementally, gradually, the voting public starts to think socialistically because they've sat under socialist professors. And so today, a Harris poll from a year ago says that half of millennials, Gen Z, and Americans younger than 30 say that they would prefer to live in a socialist country. A Gallup poll from a few months ago found that 43% of Americans believe socialism would be, quote, a good thing for the country. And that's a doubling of the amount in the last 20 years. Psalm 33 says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, verse 18, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. Now, Psalm 33:22. And this is our prayer. And this is why, friend, you must pray. You must vote. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Not only do I pray that you will hope in God, I pray that boldly, courageously, with your voice and your vote and your life, you will stand for God. And Truth for a New Generation is here to inspire, inform, and equip, and to help you do that. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
TNG Radio is made possible by the Friends of Alex McFarland Ministries, P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. That's P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. Call us at 877-YES-GOD-1. That's 877-YES-GOD and the number 1. Or give online at alexmcfarland.com. While you're there, listen to program archives, read Alex's blog, invite Alex to speak at your event, or contact Alex with a question or comment. alexmcfarland.com. Thanks for listening today, and join us again next time as we bring you more truth for a new generation on TNG Radio.